Hi, this is Jim Armstrong, founder of the Inner Circle Club and Jim Armstrong Marketing Systems. And today's coaching call is on is part of the 12-month Total Transformation Program. We're doing microsystems. And let's just dig right in. The purpose of the main purpose of your business that we've talked about over and over again is to fund and facilitate your ideal lifestyle. And the reason you own your own store instead of working for somebody else is obviously because you see a better opportunity to create your ideal lifestyle working for yourself than somebody else. And at the same time, though, on the other hand, most floor dealers wind up remaining as slaves to their store, chained to it. And even those that do well on the financial end still wind up way too involved in the day-to-day activities of their stores. It's a constant theme that I hear. It's very frustrating. And that the main reason for this is because the store is owner-dependent rather than system-dependent. And because you're Inner Circle Club members, you're learning the principles and the skills and the strategies to turn your store from being owner-dependent to being system-dependent. Most floor dealers want two things from their store. They want either time or money, or they want both of those things, time and money. They want the revenue, and they also want the time to be able to go out and enjoy that. And that's why I've divided my coaching into two parts. One focuses on generating the revenue, generating the money, and the other focuses on creating the systems to give you that freedom and walkaway power so you can enjoy that. And microsystems, how that fits in is it just gives you the time to pursue what has meaning and purpose for you. And the example that I use again and again is the McDonald's franchise. And franchises make really good business models because they're all set up, I shouldn't say all, but the vast majority of them are set up so that they're totally system dependent. Michael Gerber, who wrote The E-Myth, said that you should organize and build your business so that as though you are going to franchise it, even if you don't have plans to, even if you don't want to, you should still build it that way. And there's a lot of benefits for that. One is it does give you that freedom. Second of all, if you do decide to sell it, well, you're able to truly build equity in your business. If you have something that is system dependent, then a true entrepreneur slash investor would want to come along and buy your business because it's truly an investment. Most small businesses, when they sell them, what they're essentially selling to the new owner is a job. And that really diminishes the value of the business, which you can ultimately sell it for, and it narrows the market to just those people who are willing to buy a job. So by setting it up such that you do have systems, somebody who could come along and buy your business who has no involvement whatsoever in the flooring industry, because they won't. It'd be like, let's go back to the McDonald's example. It'd be like somebody who doesn't know a thing about flipping burgers. Well, great, doesn't matter. He can still buy a McDonald's because it's system dependent. And of course, the new owner would need to learn the industry and so forth. And I'm not saying that they wouldn't need to know anything about it. But it's something they could do once they got in, and my point is that it's something that would have value to somebody who is not necessarily from your industry. So moving along, the core of any franchise is its operations manual, and the reason for it is that it contains all of the systems, all the written systems for the day-to-day operations of the business. And so what we're doing as part of the 12-month total transformation is creating the ideal operations manual, and this is the first part of that. the microsystems shows you a very simple two-step process for creating any system that is going to go into the operations manual. And we're going to cover over the upcoming months putting together that operations manual so that you can structure your business more like a franchise rather than as a job. Okay, let's talk about why delegation usually fails and what to do about it. And we've all heard this before. If you want it done right, you got to do it yourself. We've all heard it. Many of us have perhaps said it. I've said it in the past before I saw the light and learned how businesses should be run. And usually this kind of sentiment is held by entrepreneurs who are completely burned out and maxed out with their business, and they've tried to expand by delegating. And I've heard this story over and over again. People who, I decided to go ahead and expand my business and hire people, and I did, and they just wouldn't do a good job. I couldn't count on them. They wouldn't get the tasks done. Here's another one you'll hear. You just can't get good help anymore. And it's simply not true. You can get things done right without doing it yourself. You can find good help. And we're going to get to that in a minute. So now the business owner is faced with either continuing to try and grow, which adds, more stress, more complaints, and everything else, or they keep the business at a size that's small enough that they can keep their hand in everything. And essentially, that's what the majority of floor dealers do. And it's why you're a part of the club, because none of you want that. You want something better, and there is a better way. And that's what you're learning here. And the reason most dealers opt for that second choice is because this is their baby, their business, it's their bread and butter, their reputation is on the line. The idea that letting people come along, employees who don't do the job as well as they do and cause their reputation to suffer is a terrifying thought. So they just keep the business at a level that they can personally monitor, and there they stay. That's the size they're at. They can't grow because they're afraid to delegate, and they can't reduce the size of their business because they're afraid of, or not afraid of, but they can't afford a loss in revenue. Can't grow because they're afraid to delegate, can't reduce the size because they can't afford the income loss. So they're stuck. And there's the reason for it is usually they have not a good concept of delegation. In fact, the key to the whole thing that I've just described, the whole mess that I've just described, is delegation. And they don't delegate correctly, they set themselves up to fail. And the big reason, the number one reason, is no written systems. And actually, I say in the manual that, the microsystems manual, that a unwritten system is an oxymoron, because if it's not written down, it's not a system. So you've got to keep this in mind. Remember, if it's not written down, it's not a system. Remember, again, we've talked about McDonald's a lot. Now, you never see the McDonald's owner in the back flipping burgers, wiping down tables, taking orders, doing any of that stuff, or in any franchise generally. You don't see them stressed out, running around trying to put out fires and all that good stuff. Yet, franchises tend to be models of efficiency, and that's, of course, because they're system rather than owner-dependent. McDonald's has a system for everything. I actually spent a summer right before my senior year in high school working at a McDonald's, and they have a system for making a hamburger, for making a cheeseburger, for making a Big Mac, for cleaning the lobby, everything. I remember when I first started working there, I was being trained on how to make hamburgers and cheeseburgers. And I was in the back. They had one guy actually cooking the patties. He was on, I forget what they called it, fry the burgers detail. And he had a system for how they were fried, how long you cooked them on each side, when you put the onions on. And I remember the onions got put on while they were still on the grill. And they got salt and peppered while they were still on the grill. And once the patties were done, then it got moved to the back where the dresser, that's what they called the guy who put the whole thing together with the pickles and the ketchup and the mustard. And that's what I was doing because I was a new guy, and I couldn't, you know, you had to be there a while before they put you in charge of the oven and frying those hamburgers. But I remember I put the ketchup on first, and then I put the mustard on. And she went, no. The trainer said, no. The mustard goes on first, and then the ketchup. I hope I got that right. I actually can't remember. It's been so many years. But they had it so that either the ketchup or the mustard went on first, and then the other one. And when I got it backwards, I mean, you're using a what looked like a caulking gun that squirted it out, you know, the ketchup or the mustard onto the hamburger. When I got it backwards, put the ketchup before the mustard or the mustard before the ketchup, I don't remember, she stopped me and said, no, this goes on first. And I actually asked her, I said, well, what difference does it make? And she goes, because a bunch of men in a room somewhere decided that it tastes better when you put, you know, the ketchup on first or the mustard on first. I can't remember which. And that stuck with me all this time. That's how detailed they were. And there was a manual on how to make the stuff. And it applied for everything else in the store. And there are several of many benefits to the McDonald's owner. First of all, written systems are clear and unambiguous. I mean, that was crystal clear. I mean, it was down to which you put on first, the ketchup or the mustard. Training was far quicker and easier. I mean, they had me up and running and, you know, basically how to make those burgers in just a few minutes. And keep in mind that McDonald's has huge turnover. They employ high school kids. So it's easy when somebody quits or they have to fire somebody or whatever, that they just pull another person in and plug them into the system. And the third thing is excellent accountability. I mean, she was able right there when I put the wrong condiment on first, well, instantly, nope, that's not how we do it here, we do it this way. So it was clear, unambiguous, easy, excellent accountability, and great for training. Now, what most flooring dealers do when they try and delegate is something completely different. Usually they rely on verbal instructions. And I've seen this kind of thing over and over again. And it causes a lot of problems because the instructions are ambiguous. Even a good employee may hear it differently than you're saying it. Okay? The miscommunications are common, easy to happen. Training is a grueling nightmare because you got to sit there and verbally communicate all this stuff to them. This has the unintended consequence of making the owner a hostage to lousy employees. I've been there years ago before I learned this. I've had employees who showed up late consistently, didn't do the job right, and I'm like, the thought of trying to train somebody else or hire somebody else was so distasteful and so agonizing that I would let them get away with it far longer than they should have. And then, of course, there's poor accountability because how do you know if they did it right or wrong? If it's not written down, you can't point to that written Bible, so to speak, and say this is what it says, this is how it's done. So a written system done correctly will make the difference between success and failure when it comes to delegating. I want to talk for a minute about the necessity of good employees, and I'm going to read two quotes regarding employees. Michael Gerber said that systems enable ordinary people to achieve extraordinary results predictably. And then the inverse, which I heard from Bob Berg, author of Endless Referrals, says that without systems, it's difficult for extraordinary people to achieve ordinary results predictably. most flooring dealers and most small businesses in general have a problem with delegation, not because of bad employees, because they don't have written systems. They haven't done it correctly. And I've talked to so many business owners who are just perpetually frustrated. Like I said earlier, they think their employees are lousy. They think that you can't get good help anymore. They think that everybody's irresponsible. And then when you visit their business, it becomes crystal clear that the reason is because nothing's written down. There are no systems. They're not getting the most out of their employees, not even close. But on the other hand, a well-designed system can still be sabotaged by a lousy employee. One of the Inner Circle Club members did a coaching call recently who had taken the time to take the world-class installation system template, tweaked it to fit his business, hired what he thought was going to be a good employee. You know, his person seemed enthusiastic. They had a good attitude, it seemed, and they were friendly. But within a month or two, it became very clear that it just wasn't working out, that things weren't getting done. This system, the paint-by-numbers, checklisted system that I've used for years and other club members are using successfully, was basically rendered useless by a bad employee. Even the franchises are not immune. When I was at McDonald's, there were people who just did not work out. They just had to let them go. That doesn't mean that the McDonald's system wasn't working. It meant that you got to have a certain level of competency with an employee. A good system won't cure bad employees. I had a project coordinator. Did an incredible job. Just really followed the checklist. Did the steps as they were laid out, had a good work ethic, had a good attitude, and never had a problem. When a question came up, she would ask if something came up that wasn't part of the system, one of those things that do crop up from time to time, she would ask. She wouldn't just leave the thing undone. She would find out, okay, this is not covered in the system. How do we do it? So, did a great job, had no problems whatsoever. She went on maternity leave, and for about 3 months we hired a temp. Now we went through a temp agency and actually paid extra to bring her in a month before our project coordinator went on maternity leave. So they had 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, where our project coordinator trained the temp. And same system, nothing changed, everything done the exact same way, and we basically had to let her go after just a few weeks because she just wouldn't do the stuff, wouldn't follow the system. So when you're implementing the world-class installation system, microsystems, any system like that, according to the way I've laid it out, the instructions, and you still aren't getting good results from an employee, there's a good chance that you've got to find a new employee. Module 8 in the Rapid Launch has a great strategy for finding employees and doing it quickly and weeding out people who can't follow instructions. I'm not going to go through that whole strategy right here in detail, but just go into Module 8 of the Rapid Launch and you can find that there. So let's cover, I want to talk very briefly about a basic hiring process. What you want to do is, step one is run an ad recruiting an employee, and again following the steps outlined in the Module 8 of the Rapid Launch. Run ads wherever you go to recruit for employees. Do it according to the steps in Module 8 to get those good results. Next thing is schedule interviews with the candidates, but only the candidates who follow your exact instructions as outlined in Module 8. And then what you can do is schedule the interviews back-to-back in one-hour appointments. Do it on a Saturday is a good day. That way you can just get them all done at once. then have the top candidates come back for a second interview. I really like the multiple interview process. It's just hard to get a good feel for the person just in one setting. And at that second interview, give them a personality test, and you can go online to Colby.com. It's written out in your Microsystems manual. It's Colbe.com, and that help you determine if they're right for the position that you're hiring for, and then make your decision. You could even add a third interview if you think it's necessary to if you've got, you know, multiple candidates that seem like they might fill the bill. But all of this leads to the sanity-saving tip that I tell everybody, and that is hire slow, fire fast. Okay? Self-explanatory. Let's talk about the principles of aerodynamics. When an airplane crashes, something goes wrong, the investigators from the FAA go to the scene and they try and find out what went wrong. They look at all the possible things that could have gone wrong with that particular airplane, from atmospheric conditions to pilot error, engine problems, what have you. What you never hear investigators do is call into question the principles of aerodynamics. You're never going to hear them say in a press conference, "Yeah, I guess airplanes just don't work after all." Okay, it's not going to happen. The principles of aerodynamics are proven. They work. And even though airplanes crash occasionally, that doesn't disprove aerodynamics. So again, the investigators look for what went wrong with that particular airplane. So the same is true with the principles of systems. They're proven. Thousands and thousands and thousands of businesses around the world, including floor dealerships, use systems successfully to create freedom for the store owner so that the store or the business is system rather than owner dependent. It can be easy as you're implementing the world-class installation system, microsystems, and so forth, to say, well, you know, you run into some problems, say, man, maybe this doesn't work after all. Maybe I am going to have to keep my finger in all the pies to make sure it things are going to get done. When you're implementing, remember that it's 10% putting the systems in place, 90% fixing and tweaking. You implement this stuff, you're going to have some crashes, you're going to have some challenges. It's totally normal. When this happens, your job is to go to the scene of the crash and determine what went wrong with that particular system and then repair it, fix it, tweak it so that it doesn't happen again. Implementing systems is all about tweaking and fixing. They almost never work 100% right out of the gate. There's always little things. Even at a McDonald's, even at a franchise, they'll run into little things that just require some fixing. That's why they have staff meetings, okay? That's why they meet to go over these things, these challenges they run into. So when this happens, don't call into question the principles of systems. Don't go back into the mindset of, oh, if you want it done right, you got to do it yourself. Oh, you just can't find good help anymore. It's simply not true. It's self-defeating, it's a limiting thought, and it'll keep you chained to your store. Go in, figure out what went wrong with that particular system, fix it, tweak it, and then move on. Systems, they work, they're proven. All right, let's talk about creating microsystems, how to do it. And the definition of a microsystem is basically any system to perform the tasks not covered by the world-class installation system, but which are still necessary for the day-to-day operations of your store. That's the working definition we're using here. And there are many things that need to get done at the store. Opening, closing the store, buying office supplies, stocking inventory, cleaning the store, reorders, how sales meetings are conducted, how customers are greeted, how the phones are answered, all these things need to have a system. That's where microsystems come in. And creating a microsystem is a two-step process. Step one is make a checklist of every step necessary to accomplish a specific task. Step two, on a separate sheet or below the checklist, create a detailed instructions on how to do each step. That's basically it. Very simple concept, but very powerful. So don't let its simplicity fool you. I've been using this process for years, and it works. It's essentially what you're going to see in franchises. The checklist is basically just a reminder. It's just, okay, yeah, I got to do this thing, this thing, this thing. The instructions are really for training purposes and to refer back to for accountability purposes. And let's just go ahead and look at an example. A simple one, opening the store. Now, I've got four steps that I've written here. You may have more, you may have less, you may have, you know, 10 little things that need to get done when the store is open. It just doesn't matter. You're going to customize it for your store. Here we have turn off the alarm, turn on the interior lights, turn on the lights for the exterior signage, turn on the coffee maker. Well, that's your checklist. And whoever you delegate that to needs to follow that checklist every day. The instructions, you just basically take each item on the checklist and explain it in detail. And I'm just going to read the first couple here. On the instructions, turn off the alarm. When you enter the building, the red armed flashing light will be flashing. You have 30 seconds to disarm the alarm. Code is 12345, enter. The green disarmed light will come on. If the alarm goes off, if you don't disarm the alarm within 30 seconds, the alarm will sound. Call Golden Bear Alarm at the phone number. Give them the security code. Floor alarm is the security code. They will turn off the alarm remotely. If you don't call them with this code, they will call the police. Note, the numeral 3 sometimes sticks. If the alarm doesn't show up on your first try, re-enter the code, pushing each number slowly and firmly. That's how detailed you want to get on any kind of task item in the checklist that has some details to it. And then I go on to mention the other things. The next example is is maintaining the showroom. And I've got a checklist of items to do daily, twice daily, and then the instructions laid out the same way. I won't read the whole thing to you. Obviously, everybody's going to have slightly different things that get done to maintain their showroom, but you get the idea here. One tip is to keep a copy of the checklist with the person who is performing the task or posted where the task is performed. And then keep the detailed instructions and a copy of the checklist in the ideal operations manual to refer back to. And these are some really basic systems. The world-class installation system gives you an example of a more complex system. So whether it's simple, complex, in between, it doesn't matter. The principles apply regardless. And, you know, it may not have occurred to you to write systems for things like opening the store, maintaining the showroom or other things like that. But I guarantee you that McDonald's and other franchises have a system for every one of those things. I remember one time the manager, when I was working at McDonald's, forgot to go through the checklist, and it's nighttime. I was working a night shift, and I don't know how long it had been dark, but she went, oh my gosh, the sign. She hadn't followed the checklist, and the big golden arches out front were dark. So she had to rush to the back and turn them on. I still remember that. But she failed. She didn't follow that checklist they have for, you know, what to do to open the store. And then when nighttime rolled around, they obviously had another checklist. Other examples, again, we've talked about the world-class installation system. It's an excellent example of this two-step process. On your CD-ROM that you have is the Excel spreadsheet that has the checklist of every task that goes into the world-class installation system. And then the manual takes each one of those steps and blows it up with a detailed instructions. Sometimes you know, almost a full page is given to describe how just one of the things on the checklist gets done. And as you study the world-class installation system, what you're going to find is that it's really just a series of microsystems put together so that it puts the entire selling, buying, installation, follow-up into just a single process. But it's really just a lot of microsystems put together in an organized fashion. The Home Advisor monthly newsletter that you get, every time you get it, you get an instruction sheet on how to get it ready for print. That can be easily tweaked into a microsystem for delegating the customization, printing, and getting it into the mail, your monthly newsletter, so you're not doing all of that. Very, very easy to do. So let's talk about getting started. What you've learned, essentially, is the two-step process that I've used over and over and over again to successfully delegate. So I can focus on what's important, other things. Don't let its simplicity fool you. You know, I can write that two-step process on a matchbook cover, but I want you to grasp what a key this is for creating the freedom that you want out of your business. Remember, this manual works in conjunction with the other manuals in the 12-month total transformation, and as you go through it, you're going to wind up using this two-step process over and over again as you create your operations manual. And your ultimate goal is to have every task necessary for the day-to-day operations of your store written out like you see here. And so it's a good thing that it's simple, because you don't want to spend days writing out some complex system just to get the darn store opened, okay? It's simple. This is like a workhorse, a tool you're going to keep at the top of your toolbox and use over and over again. By taking a task, you may take, you know, half an hour one time to detail out what needs to be done, say, maintaining the showroom. But then you're done. You don't have to keep redoing that same thing over and over again like you do when you give verbal instructions. It's written, it's unambiguous, training is easier, and the accountability is there. So where to start, and the most important advice I can give is to make a start. I recommend beginning with the task that will create the most freedom for you. And in the 12-month total transformation game plan workbook, it takes you through a step-by-step series of questions to determine what you want to accomplish in your business for the next 12 months. You know, one of the goals that I talk about in the game plan workbook that I use kind of as the generic goal for everybody to shoot for is doubling your net income and then taking an extra day off each week. So using the taking an extra day off each week as the example, let's say that your goal is to take Fridays off. Well, basically you're going to make a list of all the tasks that get done on a Friday and either, one, reschedule them so they get done on another day, or two, create a microsystem and delegate them. There may be some things on there that in the short term you need to keep doing, but you know, rescheduling can be a solution, and then create a microsystem for everything else. So now you've got Fridays freed up to do other things. Or maybe you want to just get your mornings freed up. Maybe you still for the short term have to be in the store Monday through Friday for at least a certain amount of time. One of our coaching members, we freed up his mornings by restructuring some things and creating microsystems so that he freed up essentially a day a week, but it was, you know, an hour and a half to 2 hours each morning. Using that extra 1.5 or 2 hours a day, he is now able to go in and create other systems to create more freedom and also implement marketing, so it becomes a snowball kind of thing. Okay, now I've freed up these hours, now I'm going to use those hours to free up more hours, and it snowballs. The world-class installation system is an excellent place to begin with implementing systems. Like I said earlier, the world-class installation system is a chain of systems basically hooked together to make a single process out of the buying, selling, and installation. It covers a huge portion of the day-to-day activities that go on in your store. And, of course, it uses the project coordinator as the person who, you know, facilitates that. So, again, you can read in the, I won't go into the whole all the details here, but in your rapid launch manual, the world-class installation system modules, there's two of them, we'll give you the details on that. And so I would recommend, in general, that is an excellent place to start because you're just going to get so much off of your plate. You're going to get huge bang for your buck by getting that whole process implemented. Mean huge freedoms for your day-to-day, you know, day-to-day freedom in your business and in your life. Okay, that pretty much covers everything in the microsystems manual. What I want to do now is go ahead and open it up to questions, troubleshooting, discussions. I want to start and kind of go around the room, so to speak, and find out who's, talk about systems first, and then if we've still got time, we can discuss some marketing if anybody has questions in that regard. So I'm going to go around the room, but I'll just give you guys a chance to kind of raise your hand and go first. Is there anybody that has a question or a troubleshooting or anything regarding systems?
No question here, Jim. It's Sam.
Hey, Sam.
And Winona. This is what I see as the next best thing to being able to clone myself, so to speak. And this is probably one of the things. You know, I'd get the bullets down, but I wouldn't have the micro part of it. And being able to micro this, yeah, this is gonna give me that snowball effect, as you say, more time to create more time.
You know, you and I have talked about in one of our one-on-one sessions. We discussed doing the project coordinator position, and right now you're doing the estimating yourself. Am I remembering correctly?
That's correct.
Okay. And how's that working out? Wait a minute. We put up a goal in to run an ad for a project coordinator, didn't we?
Yes. I'm receiving used your instructions, and
okay.
It's kind of almost comical listening to some of the responses, and out of, I think we had like 50 responses so far, and probably only less than a half a dozen that really followed the instructions like they should have. So, you know, just cut to the chase real quick there on who we need to get in for interviews.
And what, just to refresh everyone, in the, you're following the module 8 in the rapid launch, right?
Yes.
Yeah. In there we have a system that is essentially a series of hoops that the prospective employee has to jump through before they ever even find out who you are.
Yes.
And you've had about 50 responses from that?
Yes, but less than a half a dozen or half a dozen or so that actually have done, you know, followed the rules, so to speak, or jumped through the hoops. So
now that is powerful, Sam, because you just essentially eliminated 44 people that you're not going to mess with. It narrowed it down to the 6 that could actually do what the heck you told them.
Yes.
That's great. Have you started the interview process yet?
No, plan on this weekend here.
Okay, so you're going to book them all on a Saturday like we were
talking? Going to try to. Yeah,
okay.
I haven't contacted all of them yet, but I'm going to try to do it on a Saturday, and then I got to look into that Colby test to get them to take that, and I'm planning on probably having two come back for a second interview.
Okay. Well, now imagine, Sam, you trying to, because you'd have had that many responses even if you hadn't done the hoop thing. Can you imagine trying to weed through 50 applicants?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what a nightmare. So you've narrowed it down by 90%. You're going to essentially get the 10% that, and it's that old 80-20 rule, and really the 90-10 rule, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so you've got the cream of the crop, and that, you know, it doesn't guarantee that, that all six of those are your perfect employee, but boy, it sure narrows the field.
Yes, yes, that was, you know, I firsthand can see how powerful that is, and just in a getting the right person and saving me time.
Absolutely. Any questions or anything at this point, Sam, on that, or anything we need to troubleshoot?
You know, not necessarily. You know, I might want to have a discussion on where the wage needs to be at, you know, versus, you know, I suppose more local economy and things like that. You know, I don't know if now is the time to get into that. It might be more personal.
That would probably be something we'd need to discuss. In fact, what I would recommend is to do a post on the online community forum and maybe get some input from around the club.
Okay.
And it's so much of it. You're right. It is where you're at.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And somebody in New York City is going to have a way different pay scale than somebody in, you know, Louisiana.
Right. Right.
So
you know, I guess what got me thinking about that was these microsystems. There's nothing about this that is going to be hard for the employee. It's just follow directions. So it isn't like you're hiring this, you know, 8-year college graduate who has to have all this knowledge.
No, the project coordinator is really, they don't even need the skill level of an office manager. They're down the ranks. You know, I would say, just off the top of my head, we look for somebody that it wasn't a receptionist where all they did was answer phones. So it's a higher scale than that, but it's not at the level of an office manager who's running the whole office for you.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, and you might talk to your, describe the position, call a temp agency.
Okay.
Call a temp agency in your area and describe the job to them and say, give me an idea of a pay scale.
That's
and,
a good idea.
And they'd be able to, because they've got their finger on that pulse.
Sure. Okay, good.
And then when you find someone, start them off maybe at, you know, kind of the medium range, but I always, when you find, I'll tell you how we did it. We started them off kind of at the medium range for our project coordinator, and then over the next 90 days, as they proved themselves, had some built-in raises,
okay,
basically just based on the fact of how long they stayed there.
Sure.
In other words, if they worked out, we were willing to pay them more than average, because losing an employee and having to rehire and retrain, even with the systems, you're losing money. So
right.
It was worth it to us to have some built to where they were going to actually get paid higher, you know, not a whole lot at first, you know. We had bonus systems and other things like that, so there was incentives for them to perform and a potential to make quite a good income. But at the same time, we didn't want to have to be constantly losing people because we were not paying enough.
Right. Yeah. You know, when we want to give a, you know, as stress-free an environment as possible, you know, there's gonna, you know, there's always some.
Yeah.
But it should be a fun job. They just need to be able to like to communicate with people and follow directions and.
Yep.
And shouldn't have any problems.
Nope. You shouldn't. You shouldn't at all. And I've used the system with, like I said earlier, with a good employee and a not-so-good employee, and it was a night and day difference.
Sure. When you mention bonuses, would you, and we, you know, we're really going to be stressing getting referrals and testimonials, and do you base a lot of your bonuses off of that type of responses, too?
Ours was closed transactions, but it was a little bit different situation. I know of a plumbing company in the Northeast, and I don't remember the name of it, but they had different kinds of bonuses, but one of their bonuses was tied directly to how many testimonials they got in a month.
Sure.
You know, they had a thing for that, and I don't know this for sure, but I imagine they had some sort of a bonus for referrals.
Sure.
You know, so it's how much you're going to slice up that pie, you're going to need to think about.
Right.
But for the position that you're filling, it doesn't have to be these, you know, huge amount, you know. And keep in mind, we're kind of getting into the subject of, you know, what you know, is motivating to employees and so forth. Money is only one tiny part of it.
Right.
Recognition, acknowledgement, being part of a team, all those things really play into it. So don't, when I mention bonus, I don't want to overemphasize that's a monetary bonus is the only way. There's other factors.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to, you know, that project coordinator has to make the whole team more efficient and produce more also. So I do see it as a very important position.
They're the conductor of the orchestra. You know, they're orchestrating the whole process, and yeah, it is key.
Sure.
I would say on as far as bonuses and that sort of thing, I'd say let's do a post on the community forum and maybe get some input from the other members, and then also go to the like I said, your temp agency and see what the pay scales are looking like for that job description.
Okay,
give you an idea.
Good. Sure. Sure.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and move around the room. Anybody else have some quite want to volunteer before I start calling on you? David, you there still?
Yeah, hey, Jim.
Hey, how's everything going?
Well, business-wise, it's still pretty tough.
Sure.
So right now, this is a really valuable tool that you're offering to us. My time right now is devoted toward trying to generate more quality traffic.
Absolutely. And we're going to be putting your short-term success story or quick success story that you had, we'll mention that in the next newsletter. You were able to get several joint venture partners really quickly, and I'm excited to see how you know, when you guys start essentially farming each other's databases. That's exciting.
Well, the fellow that does the carpet cleaning I was telling you about.
Yeah.
He's real aggressive. He likes marketing as well, and so as I told you, he split out, and his son now is married with a child, and he needs to get ahead in life. So they're actually forming an emergency water. You know, extraction company.
Yeah.
So the dad is running the carpet company, cleaning company, but he has an old Polish gentleman that's very precise that runs that crew for him. His son is running a painting crew. He's another fellow who works for him, does finished carpentry. And now we're able to network into that group as well. But he has a full sheet handout. In fact, he's just redoing some. They're full-color handouts that he gives to customers every job. So he says he gives out about 6 a day. And he's including those of us that have joined this little group.
Yeah.
So he's giving actually name recognition that, you know, for flooring needs, you know, Wadsworth Flooring. And then what I'm considering, if I should go ahead and do a full-page flyer myself that he can attach to it and have a gift certificate and an explanation of our ironclad guarantee and, you know, so forth, and see if he will just enclose that, you know, maybe even just staple it to his and use it.
I absolutely think you should do that.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Because he's doing better quality homes in fact, I thought I would do my portion. I would even write a letter from John, get him to approve it, but just that, you know, introducing me as to why he's including my information with his, and see if that won't establish, you know, a rapport with the customers.
That's absolutely what you should do. That's so powerful, David. And just to give everyone on the call a little context here, you and I have done coaching where one of the topics we're going to cover very soon is establishing joint ventures. Usually they're more like happy accidents. And by using the strategies, we took an entire coaching call and devoted it to that. And using those strategies, you know, David's gone out and in 1 week established 3 joint venture relationships with businesses who are giving him free access to their database to market his store. And that's just part of it. What you're telling us all right now, David, is more, and there's so many different ways to do it. That's powerful.
And, you know, to me, this is kind of extreme joint venturing. I mean, to me, you could do it on a different scale, which is probably more commonly done, is you simply have some type of an offer with, you know, your dry cleaners and whoever else you do business with, that they can give those out to their customers and just say, you know, and, you know, thank you for doing business with Vogue Cleaners, and, oh, by the way, it's just kind of a benefit. We've got this gift certificate from Wadsworth Flooring, and I think that would be a good idea.
I think that would be fabulous. And the, you know, verbiage like for clients of XYZ dry cleaners only.
I think personalizing it, if I just give them a gift certificate, it has value. But to me, it would have more value if I would actually have them custom printed with the name of the business, you know, saying that it almost gives the impression that they're buying this or they're contributing, you know, to the cost of it.
I agree. You have them customized for each business that you work with, and then the business owner then gets to say to his clients, it's a win-win. He gets to say to them, by the way, because you're a client of XYZ Cleaners, you're going to get one of these gift certificates. You know?
It's almost like giving somebody free tickets to the ball game. You know,
exactly.
You always feel like it's almost like you must really be special for the owner of the business to give you know, free tickets. So
that's right. Let's see. Let me get back on the screen here. Who else have we got on the line today?
Steve from Main Place in Cottonwood.
Hey, Steve.
How are you?
Hey, good. How's the looking for a new project coordinator coming along?
slow, but sure.
Okay. All right. Now, have you implemented any of the stuff from Module 8 yet?
No, I don't know that I've. Well, I think so, Jim. I mean, you know, at this point, it's hard for me to know, you know, what I'm doing that's a function of your program or, you know, inherently doing it. It's all kind of one at this point. So, sorry, I'm drawing a blank on all the details of Module 8, but I don't know what to say.
Fine. It's just doing the, well, without going into the whole thing, it's basically the step-by-step process for finding the employees, you know, so that you're not like what Sam just, you know, alluded to. You know, he's looking for his first project coordinator, and he put an ad out, but it wasn't to call the store. The ad was to for the free recorded message, which gave a series of what I call clear but potentially confusing instructions.
Yeah.
And so he narrowed the 50 down to like 6 that he's going to interview, and he doesn't have to mess with the other 44 because they couldn't follow instructions.
Right.
So he's a good example. And I've had similar kinds of results doing that, where you get a good response, but you can weed through and find, you know, this person just didn't do what we told them. They're not a candidate. So.
Yeah. You know, I'd report market conditions are kind of tough in my area as well, and unfortunately, you tend to default to, you know, trying to, you know, maintain the revenue line, maybe not the right approach, but that's what I've engaged with, spent most of my time in.
Well, that's totally understandable. You know, we are, the housing market is going through things that are kind of unprecedented. But as an encouragement, we do have members that are doing well, the revenue's doing well, and again, that varies region to region. And I guess my encouragement would be to take the strategies in the rapid launch, begin with those, and we're going to be doing a series on joint ventures. One thing I would talk about, would recommend that everybody do, if you haven't done it yet, is get your newsletter, you know, reconnect with your clients and get your newsletters up and running. because two things, your newsletter's up and running and your referral reward program in place. And the reason I'd recommend that is because when you start doing joint ventures or anything outside of the herd that you have, if you have a referral, your referral reward program in place, you can generate 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 referrals on every single job. When I do it, averaged about 6 or 7 referrals off each job. If you skip that part of it and move on and just start marketing, yes, it's going to work. You're going to get the good results, but you're leaving all those referrals on the table, and you know, missing out on potentially tens or even hundreds of thousands of dollars per year. So that would be my only encouragement, Steve, is as you're increasing the revenue, get those two foundational things in place, because those will bring revenue in themselves, but then it will enhance, turbocharge, multiply exponentially the everything else you do.
Well, thank you. I agree, and we're very close to being able to launch the Connect campaign.
Excellent.
I hope, within 1 week, things will be going in the mail.
Okay. Using labels versus hand addressing.
Yeah. We're going to just go with the labels.
You know, there you go, and I agree.
Better than not at all.
So. That's absolutely. Don't let the good become victimized by the perfect. There is a post, like I told you, your question was excellent. Steve had asked a question about, okay, you know, hand addressing the Connect a campaign envelopes versus labels. Think Inc., who we use, has a 5,000 minimum order, 5,000 piece. Well, not everybody has 5,000 in their database. So, okay, Steve wanted to know, okay, should I jeopardize this campaign, delay this campaign, try and figure out how I'm going to get these things hand addressed, or just go with labels? And it's an excellent question. I've done labels as stealth mailers with excellent results, and there's a whole post on the community forum outlining Steve's question and my response to it. So you guys want to go check that out. It's just really a really good question. Guys, we are out of time. You will be getting the reminder notice for the upcoming coaching calls and the topics we're going to be discussing then. Appreciate having you all on the call. This has been really productive, and we will talk to you soon. Until then, happy marketing.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.